With the Wobegon traveling through hyperspace, Plagueis lay prone on the captain's bunk, a Bacta patch covering the wound on his back, contemplating the results of his attempts to prolong the lives of those crew members who had survived the altercation. Even where he had been successful in effecting repairs to damaged blood vessels and organs, the results had been temporary, as he had not been able to influence or appeal to the midichlorians to assist. Calling on the Force to mend ruptured arteries, torn muscle, or broken bone was no more difficult than levitating slabs of stone. But such refurbishments had little effect on a being's etheric shell, which was essentially the domain of the midichlorians, despite their physical presence in living cells. Among the ship's crew, the Togruta, Captain Law, had been the strongest in the Force, but she was beyond his help by the time he reached her. Had it not been for sloppiness on his part, owing to fatigue and blood loss, and lightning-fast reflexes on hers, the lightsaber might simply have pierced her neck and cervical spinal cord. But she had spun at the moment of impact, and the crimson blade had all but decapitated her. The Zabrak, too, had a slightly higher than normal midichlorian count, but not high enough to make him Force-sensitive. How different it had been to observe the behavior of the Zabrak's midichlorians compared with those of Darth Tenebris only 2 days earlier. The Jedi routinely perform blood tests to verify the midichlorian counts of prospective trainees, but Plagueis had passed beyond the need for such crude measurements. He could not only sense the strength of the Force in another, but also perceive the midichlorians that individualized forceful beings. It was that dark side ability that had allowed generations of Sith to locate and initiate recruits. The dispersal of midichlorians at the moment of physical death was, for lack of a better term, inexorable. Analogous to his fated confrontation with the Wobegon crew, the moment of death appeared to be somehow fixed in space and time. According to his Sith education, since Captain La and the others had been in some sense dead from the moment Plagueis' gaze had alighted on the freighter, it followed that the midichlorians that resided in alleged symbiosis with them must have been preparing to be subsumed into the reservoir of life energy that was the Force long before Plagueis had stowed away. His attempts to save them, to prolong that state of symbiosis, were comparable to using a sponge to dam a raging river. And yet the Sith Lords of old were said to have been able to draw on the energies released during death to extend their own lives, as well as the lives of others. Unfortunately, much like the technique of essence transfer, that ancient knowledge had been lost. Feeling the ship revert to real space, Plagueis rose from the bunk, dressed, and walked forward. Stepping over the corpses sprawled in the main cabin, the deck plates awash in fire-suppressant fluid and blackening pools of blood, and through passageways reeking of death. One of the crew members, the now one-armed Dresselian, was still alive but comatose. In the ship's undermount cockpit, the droid stood motionless at the control console. Beyond the transparasteel viewport, myriad stars hung in space.
"Sir, we are approaching the coordinates supplied by your comlink,"
the droid said without turning from the view. Plagueis settled into the pilot's chair, which barely accommodated his long body.
"How do you come to be aboard the Wobegon, droid?"
"Formerly, I served the needs of a medical facility on Obroa Sky."
"In what capacity?"
"Research, in addition to performing a wide range of surgeries on beings of diverse species."